For any other Western politician, a seven-hour expose from a former close aide dumped in a session in front of a parliamentary committee could be certain political death. But predicting just what Boris Johnson can and can't do proves elusive, as the British Prime Minister surprised everyone with a wedding at London's Westminster Cathedral. I asked Emeritus Professor in Politics Clement McIntyre how a Western leader could reach a point where he is simply known by his first name, Boris.
Because Boris Johnson is a larger-than-life character. He's been a dominant force in British politics for some time as Mayor of London for two terms and a minister in the Theresa May government, and then since as Prime Minister. But he's got a real force of nature in the sense that he is physically very distinctive. He's got that unruly mop of hair. He has a sort of a slightly shambolic quality. He has voice characteristics that means his thoughts sometimes fly all over the place. And he's a sort of a once-met, never-forgotten sort of figure. Certainly not an anonymous political character from central casting.
And I suppose in politics of any description, you need to be known, don't you?
Yes, and the more you can build an identity, the more that people feel that they are familiar with you. They might not trust you, but they know what they see is what they're going to get, that sort of thing. And politicians, obviously, people's understanding of their positions is their currency. If people don't know what a politician stands for, don't have a sense that they know the character of the person, then they're much less likely to support them.
And, of course, in Boris Johnson's case, he's incredibly unpredictable. Who would have thought that he'd be in Westminster Cathedral on Sunday, getting married, given that, he's twice divorced, it's not generally an option available to the Catholic Church to get the main cathedral in the UK when you've been twice divorced, and given the week that he'd had prior, gosh, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and especially as I think there'd been notices go out a week or two earlier asking people to keep a date in the middle of next year free as a possible wedding date. So everyone was looking at the summer of next year for his wedding with Carrie Symons. But you're right, he had a pretty average week before that. Dominic Cummings, former senior aide, appeared before a parliamentary committee and spoke for 7 hours and really unleashed on the Boris Johnson government and on his capacity as Prime Minister on the way decisions were made or not made, the flipping and flopping of policy and U-turns and so on. And the press certainly had a field day reporting that. But again, I think, it's a bit of a cliche, but a lot of the people who voted for Johnson at the last election would say, yeah, we knew he's like this. We knew that there's a certain degree of shambolic chaos at the core of it, but he actually gives us what we want. He got Brexit done. He's established a new trading relationship with the EU. He's intent on building other trade relationships, and I trust him when he says that the vaccine rollout is going well. So in a sense, people have factored in some of the criticisms that Dominic Cummings made. But there's no doubt that a surprise wedding at the end of that week has certainly meant that the front pages of the newspapers are full of happy snaps of the couple in the garden at Downing Street, with their arms around each other, rather than some of the more critical commentary pieces that might have been written about the extent to which Dominic Cummings' evidence was damaging to Boris Johnson.
I guess the basis of a lot of it was that Boris Johnson wasn't taking the pandemic very seriously. And because of that, at the beginning of the pandemic, a lot of people in the UK contracted COVID that may not have with a more cautious approach. And that's serious for a lot of people who have relatives in that situation. And yet, at the moment, of course, the rollout in the UK of vaccines is going very, very well. So there's always this sort of yin and yang, isn't there?
Yes, and people tend to remember the last aspect of the concerns. And there's no doubt there'll be many families up and down the UK who've lost people to the COVID virus who are going to be saying, I think the government's delay in lockdown was responsible for more deaths. Britain had a very high death rate compared to equivalent countries elsewhere in Europe, and the government took a lot of criticism for that. Johnson has gone some way towards righting those concerns by a successful rollout, 30, 40% of the population now successfully vaccinated. And, of course, the summer in Europe and end of lockdown and pubs and bars and shops and so on, and museums, libraries reopening, so people are feeling that they're through perhaps the worst of it. And I think the other point to make is that through this, it's been very difficult for the opposition to make any headway. They were not, while they were able to criticise the government for its poor management of the early restrictions in the light of COVID, I don't think the opposition made a very convincing case on what they would have done differently. The Labor Party, the principal opposition, is led by Keir Starmer, who certainly doesn't have the sort of the charisma and the the sort of the dynamism that Johnson is able to project when he stands in front of a TV camera. Starmer is more dour, more quiet and professional as a competent lawyer rather than as a showman politician. And I think that he's failed so far to really capture the imagination of the British voters. So even though Johnson's been through some pretty grim times over the last couple of years, the Tory party, the Conservative Party that he leads, is still about 20 points clear of Labour in the opinion polls.
Emeritus Professor in Politics Clement McIntyre from the University of Adelaide speaking with me there.